This recording, Florida 19, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Get Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Get Secure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed that the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. So we came from Cuba on Mother's Day, May 13th, 1962. On that trip, it was my mom, dad, and the three of us. So we came to Miami. We moved to Hialeah. When we first arrived, we didn't have any money. So the first place we went to was the Freedom Tower. The Freedom Tower is this place near downtown Miami. It's still there. It's a very tall, old Art Deco tower, which has been renovated probably in the last 20 or 30 years it was renovated. But when we got there, that's where we were first taken. We were met there by government officials and the Red Cross. We were given, you know, some personal items, like toothbrush and stuff like that, some food and so on. And then we went to our first place where we stayed was like a duplex. It was a one-room duplex. The only door in the duplex was the door going outside and then the door into the bathroom. So all 5 of us were in this tiny little duplex. We were there for quite a while. When you first came from Cuba to the United States, the U.S. government would give you $100 a month. But as soon as you got a job, that $100 would go away. But that's how we started. My dad you know, started looking for a job. He found, I believe the very first job he got was cleaning pizza machines at a pizzeria. During that time, the Red Cross would give us some food. It was government surplus food. And it was a can of ham, like Spam, a brick of cheese, white rice, and cornmeal, like harina. And my mother became very creative in making meals based on those items. There might have been a couple other things, like maybe some sugar or something. So, yeah, I mean, it was a hard time for my parents. We were kids, so we kind of made the best of it, not realizing how difficult things really were. But that was our start in the United States back in 1962. Nosotros nos mudamos de Miami en 1967, cuando mi papá, cuando el trabajo de mi papá lo mudaron para Winter Haven. La compañía que con quien él trabajaba era una compañía que hacía licores, que se llamaba Old Florida Rum. Y cuando mudaron la factoría, él decidió venir a Winter Haven para seguir trabajando con esa compañía.